Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, November 18th, 2020.
Bitcoin is stable at about $17,750, off of its high of $18,500, but above every other price for the last 3 years. So that's pretty good. Ethereum is up about 1% to $473.
Thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. So first, Uniswap loses about 57% of TVL as rivals rev up their rewards to try to take away liquidity from Uniswap.
Yeah, I'm so interested. And on top of that, the Uni token itself was down about 5% today to $3.36. I am so interested in the decision making behind all of this. Everything having to do with Uniswap, I'm fascinated in decision making. I thought it was a genius move when they decided to enable liquidity mining and token rewards. I guess you'd say staking rewards off their liquidity pools, yield farming, when there was sort of this massive move away from Uniswap early on. People like Uniswap, and people like the big dogs. Like, you want to see, you want to be invested in a protocol that has the best engineers, the biggest budget, the most security reviews. Like, that's where you want to put your money so that you're not getting, hacked every single week. So people want to be in Uniswap, but they're not going to do it for free. And literally every single liquidity pool now has some form of staking that gets you tokens. And a lot of people have staking on top of other people's liquidity pools. So, like, I really don't get what Uniswap is doing here. I don't understand fundamentally. I don't understand why they didn't anticipate this going in. When they first announced their Uni rewards program for liquidity mining, I don't understand why they didn't do a ratcheted down approach over the course of 5-10 years. I don't understand why they would not update it when everyone knew it was going to happen and there was preemptive moves away from it. I don't really get it. So yeah, 57% TVL loss today. All that does is increase prices. It decreases, it sort of has a lot of knock-on effects. So I don't know. I don't know what Uniswap's going to do. I kind of think that when you see your, TVL is one of the main metrics, right? You have two metrics you can look at as Uniswap. You're going to look at your fees you're getting every day from the pools, and you're going to look at your TVL. When one of your metrics drops by over 50%, you're going to have to ask hard questions. I don't see how they don't rev back into a yield farming mechanism here pretty soon. But I don't know. I don't get it.
All right. So next, 4 years after forking from Bitcoin, privacy-centric blockchain network Zcash has completed its first halving and rolled out a major update that does away with the unpopular founders reward.
Yes, it's funny. I mean, you see these echoes all over the place. People don't like these rewards. Like, people want... So this was a similar mechanism to what the Bitcoin Cash ABC versus Bitcoin Cash node, debacle, I don't know, just sort of a fork fight was food fight was based off of, which is that, people wanted to bake a reward to the founders into the protocol. People don't really like these on these decentralized networks. I think a big part of it has to do with a lot of the organizations get their money from early mining, especially for these smaller protocols. They were doing the company itself that launched it, or the group that launched it, did a lot of the early mining, so they have a lot of the early rewards when it was still a pretty high block reward. So there's not a ton of incentive to keep doing this. I don't know. I think it's pretty interesting. Zcash is obviously locked into a very tough fight right now because, I always used to bucket cryptos into a few different buckets. I used to say you're going to have a significant store of value crypto, which is what Bitcoin is. Like, I don't think anyone, no one's going to dethrone Bitcoin. I always said you'd have a smart contract platform like Ethereum. And then I sort of had these other two buckets. One was you'd have a daily spender. And so that would be that the daily spender is kind of a fight between Bitcoin Cash and Dash. Like protocols that have near instant spend capabilities, really large block sizes, so you can actually use it to buy coffee. And then the fourth thing would be privacy-centric coins. They would have smaller market caps. They would have less utility in the overall world. They'd be harder to use in some ways because over time, more and more exchanges will start locking. Like what Shapeshift is doing, Shapeshift does not work with some of these privacy coins because of KYC and AML regulations. So, you know, you would start to see those go away, but there'd always be this market for it. What's happened, I think, is really interesting is that you've started to see implementations of high security deposit mechanisms for doing obscure transactions on Ethereum. So it never really occurred to me, or I didn't totally contemplate that you would actually be able to do anything you could do with most privacy coins, you'd be able to do with a really robust smart contract platform. I still think we're going to see those four buckets shake out over time. But if you've seen Tornado on Ethereum, I mean, it does essentially what Zcash does, which is it's a zero knowledge proof mechanism for withdrawing coins and spending coins that basically breaks that tradition. When you think about like a blockchain, you have these chains of transactions that are very easy to track from input to output, and a zero knowledge proof transaction essentially breaks that chain. So, but now you can do it on Ethereum. So my take on this is that they are, it's super interesting that they've gotten here just on the Epochs, that they've been around this long, but then B, they're basically gearing up for a fight against Ethereum and Dash and other, and Monero and other privacy coins. So it's getting more competitive. Like the everyone's kind of, things are kind of shaking out a little bit, and that's good. That's a good thing.
All right, great. So next, Payza founders were sentenced in a $250 million money laundering case.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of jail time too. Don't mess with U.S. regulators. Rule number one, like there's U.S. regulators are, I don't know how to say it. Like the U.S. is the most ridiculous place in the world in some ways, because like there's so many crimes you can do that like things that are morally ambiguous in the financial services world that you will not go to jail for if all you do is take the social security number of the person who's asked you to do it. And this falls into this stuff. I mean, like, don't mess with AML laws. It is a very slippery slope. Warrants out for the BitMEX guys. Bunch of pressure on Binance right now. Binance US is scrambling to figure out what they're going to do. And these guys are, you know, essentially were caught knowingly laundering money. I mean, not doing KYC or being very flippant about their KYC checks and scrutiny on it. And letting people launder money through their platform. So nothing will get the regulators mad at you faster than that. All it takes is just a couple of checks. At the end of the day, I mean, this is why DeFi wins on this. You know, there is no, like, DeFi wins because the U.S. can't stop going to Uniswap and trading. So as much as this is all fun and games, like all of the, you know, getting back to this discussion, like privacy coins and anonymity, all this stuff is going to move to DeFi. So there is, at this point, if you are truly interested in keeping your anonymity, as you know, if you're money laundering, you do that through one of the DeFi mechanisms. You don't go to a centralized exchange. So there's really no incentive right now for any centralized exchange not to be implementing strong KYC laws. Like they, if you're, you know, you, and really they should all be shifting over, they should all be pivoting into businesses too. I mean, there's this bull run is going to be institutional led bull run. Like the last bull run, the 2017 bull run, was retail investor led. It was your coffee, you know, your the guy selling you coffee buying Bitcoin. This one is going to be based. This is the, you know, the institutions and the large investors coming out and putting significant bets into digital assets. So this is a time for exchanges to start to kind of look at, like, well, maybe drug traffickers are not the ideal market right now. Maybe we look at how we do institutional products. So.
All right. Last, quickly, the EU will decide on a digital euro in January of 2021, says the European Central Bank president. However, she stressed that the EBC is not going to race to be first to launch a central bank digital currency.
Well, it's a race everyone's already lost. I mean, you know, China was the first to really launch one, you know, give or take a couple of other countries out there and a few fun CBDCs. I think this is great. The EU tends to be notoriously opaque about these types of discussions. So this is kind of no different. It was a very short discussion, not a lot of detail coming out of it. I'm not entirely sure what they're basing a lot of their discussions on. It seems like there's maybe 2021 will be the year that CBDCs are kind of trendy, and we'll just see a bunch of banks kind of pop them out without a lot of actual utility behind them. But I don't know. I mean, just having people kick them out for fun is better than nothing.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right, take it easy.